This episode was recorded in September 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
How are you anyway?
Oh, couldn't be any better.
No, no, listen, let's get the big one out of the way. What's happened to the horse this morning? We're all worried. The kids are worried about...
He's all right. Bambi's all right, thankfully, yeah. She's just given him some bute. Had to give him some sedation. But he's all right. He's not broken his back off four, so...
Well, are you riding the...
No, just ponies.
Right, okay. So go on then. First of all, how's everybody during lockdown? Has it been as weird for you as it has for everybody else, or have you managed to keep busy?
Managed to keep busy, but we've also, Rob, had the best family time you could ever imagine. The week before lockdown, Ben and his wife, Eve, and their two kids, Solomon and Billy, moved into our house. And as you know, Jack lives next door with his partner and their little Connie. So we've had 4 months of family time that you could never, ever imagine. You know, when my kids were growing up, you're off out to work and doing stuff, so you're never actually there. So it was just brilliant.
I was chatting to a couple of the dads. We were watching some cricket on the boundary, and we all said the same thing. I mean, this will be the last year or the last summer before my lot head off at various... So it has been... You know, in fact, I thought there might be some rows knocking around, but we've done okay, to be fair.
There's always rows, don't you lie. And hating you with a passion, you know that.
Listen, did you see the Champions League?
Yeah, watching it last night. I thought it was all right. It was intriguing because it was never over. You know, that was the thing. They were always in it. And Neuer, top goalkeeper, you know. People say a lot of the PSG players didn't turn up. But, you know, if they score that early goal when Neuer makes that brilliant save, then it's a different game. Obviously, you know, if my auntie was my uncle, then I wouldn't be here today or something like that. But you know what I mean, don't you? luck and bad luck.
I've got to be honest with you. I really like the format. I mean, I don't think practically they could do it, but you know, sort of like quarterfinal, semi-final, one-offs. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was just like the European Championships or the World Cup, wasn't it? Just get a load of games together and make up. The problem, what you've got, is that was the season finished last night, and in just over 2 weeks' time, we're going to start again. Yeah, so, you know, you have to feel for the players, no sort of break. And those that do go on a break have to be very careful.
People are talking about tactics and all that kind of thing, but the biggest change in football, certainly in our lifetime, is the camera phone.
Oh, God almighty, yeah. Everything now, Rob, you know. You cannot get around now without someone wanting a selfie. But hey, it's a good thing. You can't, you know, I'm not knocking it. So, you know, yeah, but it has changed.
It's a good job it wasn't around when you were playing. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying nothing.
Now, listen. I was thinking, do you know what? When I've been interviewing, it's been great. I've interviewed very much everybody. And I usually have a list of questions. I ain't got any for you. I was just thinking, what can I ask him? So, first of all, let's stick with the football. You'll be back with Soccer Saturday, which, you know, I interviewed Jeff the other day. Fantastic. And, you know, Rodney Marsh going back. Tell us what Soccer Saturday has meant to you and means to you.
Wow, 22 years ago I started on Soccer Saturday, and then 20 years ago they developed Kamara Camp, which is still alive today, which anybody who goes to any football ground, goes under the name of Kamara Camp, because obviously I was the first one to do it, Rob. I always remember in the year 2000, and Ian Condren phoned me up and he said, we're going to take it from the studio. So where you see the guys in the studio, where you've been, you know, because occasionally I was in the studio with Rodney Marsh and George Best and Clive Allen and Alan Mullery, Frank McClintock, all them icons. So I'd be on, you know, especially if George didn't turn up, I'd get a little call as well, you know, which was more often than not, quite a lot of time. I won't tell the story about when George came to goals on Sunday, Rob. So he phoned us up and he said, what we're going to do is we're going to send you to the grounds. Condo. I said, to be fair, people haven't really got their heads around people, ex-players, watching football on TV and then sending it back into their living rooms. He said, do you want to do it, or don't you? And I went, yeah, of course I do. And so I did it. We had a little dummy run that they were going to show a preview of the following Saturday. So I went to Oxford versus Walsall, and we went there, and we set up, because I got there really early, so we set up about 12 o'clock. My link to Jeff wasn't till about 7 minutes to three, to be precise. And so we were there from half 12. Anyway, we're all set and ready to go. We get to half past two, and this camera bloke, who'd been there for donkey's years, comes in and he says, you're in my spot. So we said, well, tough luck, mate. You know, Sky are now footing the bill for football. No. He said, look, there's just a space next to me. No, I've been a cameraman for 23 years of my life at Oxford doing this. You've got to have to move. So I said, no, not a chance. We're set now. Then I get the message in my ear. We're not coming to you at 7 minutes to three. We're coming to you in 30 seconds. Are you ready? Yeah, of course. So they come to me within 30 seconds. And Jeff goes, what's it like? And I say, yeah, it's all right. Windass is playing for Oxford and so the teams are. And this old boy decides to walk across the front of the camera. So I've got my arm out, holding him like that. Yeah, the teams will be okay. And I can hear Jeff Lott giggling in the studio like this. And I'm thinking, oh, crikey. So eventually I put my arm down and it goes, all right, we'll come to you during the game. Anyway, I did a few links during the game, but none of them were live. So I thought, oh, blame them. That bloke has spoiled it for me, you know. So I ended up calling him a few names. As you do. So went home and never got a call from Condo that week. Anyway.
That's typical, so to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I rang him on the Friday and I went, what are you doing? He went, we'll show a little bit of it tomorrow. So I watched the program intensely because I wasn't making nothing. Nothing at all. So I thought, it's over. Anyway, the following week after that, Soccer AM, Tim Lovejoy and Helen Chamberlain got the footage of me and that cameraman. And they showed the link to me to Jeff. Holding my arm out. You can't see the cameraman. But me trying to do a report to Jeff while on the stream. And that was it. It was made from then onward.
Fantastic. Listen, it's not, I mean, we've seen classics, you know, the Beavers and what have you, and the sendings off. And it's not easy, though, is it? It's not easy.
You know,
I can't see a thing that's going on. And if they come to you at the wrong time, you're like, what was that? It's not easy. I don't think it's easy at all. I've got to be honest with you.
Not easy at all. As you know, one or two mishaps along the way, as you have just mentioned there. But it's been great. You know, it's been really good. We've had so much fun. Jeff's a pro. You've been on the programme from time to time. And of course, in 2002, the same year that Soccer Saturday was launched in terms of Camara Camp, we did Summer Soccer AM.
Yeah. Gee whiz. To be fair, even on this, we couldn't tell some of the stories.
But it was great, Rob.
We would never work again.
And it's probably one of the things I have to thank you for, you know. Lots of things, you know. Not the arguments on the motorway when we were in the car. And you saying, stop this car, I'm getting out. No, Rob, we're on the motorway. I'm getting out. No,
you weren't doing 80 miles an hour at the time.
When you were on one of your strops. Not that. But that first time in 2002 when we did Summer Soccer AM, and I was doing bits of Soccer Extra with Brian Wilner and all that. One, the first thing you said to me after we did a presenting gig together, you said, that wasn't you. After we did that show, Barney Francis was our producer, if you remember rightly. That wasn't you, were you? What did you want me? You were like Kate Abbey.
You did look like a bit like her, to be fair.
You're trying to be a TV presenter. Just be Cammy. And that was the best bit of advice.
Do you know what I was thinking? Because I was going to say what the secret is, and Gordon Strachan, when he was on the show, you were off doing whatever, I don't know what you were doing, and he said to me, the great thing about Cammy is he understands what he's talking about, obviously, because he's been there and done it, but he does it in such a natural way. It's the punter can relate to it, and I think of all the things I've heard, I think that's what the secret is, because, yeah, it's serious, but it's not that serious, is it, really?
No, well, we'd be lost without our football, but there's room in the game for fun, you know. Football's a serious game, there's no doubt about that, but it's fun. And there's two sides to it, Rob, you know, it certainly goes on suddenly. There's the education side of, you know, watching that programme and coming away from Goals on Sunday and thinking, oh, I've learned a little bit about the game, or I've learned a little bit about this. You've never learned it all in the game. That's one thing for sure. There's something comes up, even on last night's game or whatever. You learn something different every time you watch a football match, either tactically, individually, or together, you know. So that's important. But as far as Goals on Sunday goes, I need to put out a programme which is obviously different to the character that you see on a Saturday, but still one who, you know, has got a smiley face and can have a laugh and can have a bit of fun with the guests. But when we do the serious stuff, the analysis, you have got to sit and watch that and understand what's actually gone on in the words that you normally speak, rather than, you know, posh speak or whatever, something you don't understand, big long words, which you know that I don't understand.
Or me. But now, what's the most, I mean, I've been away abroad for a while, but the most fascinating thing for me is your light entertainment career, which is not only taken off, but it's getting bigger and bigger, the likes of Ninja Warriors, you know, working with Keith Lemon, working with Anton Deck. How did that come about? And can you compare it to the sports side of what you do?
It's different. It's more, well, I'm going to say more fun. It's just as much fun doing the stuff with Keith Lemon and stuff like that. Ninja Warriors, not, you know, I can still have a laugh on Ninja Warrior, but the fact is that there's some serious athletes on there. So there is a time when you've got to hold back and say, wow, look at what this fella's doing and what he's capable of. How did it all come about? I think it was 2010, Rob, because of missing the red card. I think that was it. I'd done loads and loads of things up until then. that was, you know, that was funny, and the link-ups with Jeff and me and you having a laugh, and some of the pieces that we did throughout the years. We always went to do a shoot together, or you on me as a manager or whatever, with the aim to make it serious, but have a laugh as well. So you do both in between. So so once the me missing the red card, and it's been seen by like over 25 million people, that was the thing that took me from sport, I think, to, you know, other TV stations.
Well, I mean, I saw you doing Jack and Nori and things like that. How does it come back to
CBB bedtime story?
I mean, I did feel for the kids. I thought they'd be watching from behind the sofa, to be honest with you. But anyway,
honestly, Rob, without a shadow of a doubt, that is the best thing that I have
Brilliant.
Done. I've done three Brilliant. CBB's bedtime stories. And the reason Brilliant. Why it's the best thing is because the grandkids say, put granddad back on, you know.
Brilliant.
And go, you know, so it's just amazing. I did a program with Danny and Mick, who are CBBs for older kids, from say 5 to 9-year-olds in Morpeth last week. And it was just as much fun, and it's great. And
Brilliant.
When Solomon and Connie and Billy get a little bit older, they can stick it back on when I'm no longer here and say, that's my granddad on there.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Listen, we were chatting. I know you had great success with your album as well, didn't you, before Christmas? What's in the pipeline? What have you got? Have you got any new things that you're looking to do? Obviously, we've been a bit totally hamstrung with the pandemic. What's in the pipeline for you?
I've still got plenty on, Rob. I couldn't believe we tapped a number 8 album in the charts over Christmas. Was just
how did that come about, Cam? Was that your idea, or did people approach you? How did that happen?
No, they approached me. I did a program called All Together Now with Rob Beckett and Jerry Halliwell. You probably haven't seen it because you've been out of the country.
Yeah.
And it's 100 cabaret artists, right, who are the audience. So what you do is you come and sing a song. They listen to 30 seconds of it. And then if they like it, like your voice and like the song, they stand up.
Yeah.
So my agent approached me and he said, you do like singing. He said, do you fancy doing All Together Now? I said, yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely love to. I've seen the program. He said, what do you want to sing? I said, Brown Eyed Girl.
All Nailed day long.
Yeah, that's my signature tune. Wherever I go, I'd sing that on. The crowd join in with the la-la-las and all that, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So he goes to them, and they said, oh, look, to be fair, we've got too many people singing sing-along songs. Would he sing a ballad? And I went, no chance. No chance. I've seen the program. And he went, it's not like you. You go into all of these things for a bit of fun. So I went, yeah, you're right. So he said, do you still want to do it? I said, yeah, but it's got to be, if it's a ballad, it's got to be from my favourite, Elton John, you know, my hero. So he went back to them and he said, yeah, you can sing your song, Elton John, and they'll pick another song, Dancing on My Own, which was Callum Scott, which is a lovely song, but not one that I felt really comfortable with, but I felt comfortable with Elton. So I did the Elton song that night. I got scored 74 out of 100 people stood up. And I was in second place going to the last two. Then I dropped down to third place. And then I'm thinking, please, please, please get knocked out of here. Because I didn't want to sing that Callum Scott song. Anyway, yeah. Lady from EastEnders, Pete Beale's wife, Scottish woman, can't remember her name at this moment in time, great actress as well. she came on and she sang Simply the Best, which was brilliant because after 30 seconds, they were all up, you know, one of them songs that just gets you. She had a great voice as well. So I got knocked out. Anyway, unbeknown to me, Adam Greenup from Silver Screen Records thought my two-piece big band and a conductor to do a Christmas album. So if I sang Brown Eyed Girl, it would never have happened. Fate, bro.
Yeah.
Fate, absolute fate.
That's fantastic.
And then we're bringing out another album this Christmas, would you believe? We want to try and beat eighth in the album chart.
Yes.
So,
brilliant.
So it's great, yeah. So that's going. The theatre tour is cancelled, obviously, for COVID reasons. I'm doing a little bit of acting.
Mm.
I'm working with Stephen Graham in a few weeks. Who's an absolute legend.
Really?
Two episodes in Emmerdale. So it's just great, Bob. It's just so good. It's never ending, which is great.
Did you say to me, maybe I don't know, was there any stand-up knocking round at all? Was that part of a plan?
That was a theatre tour, which was booked. So we had the album tour this Christmas, which was 21 dates. So I'd have been really busy in November, December. That's had to be cancelled. We had 4 dates in August, September and October for the theatre tour, which is a little bit of stand-up, but would have turned it into Q&A instead. With a few videos and stuff, so that's off the radar. But hopefully, if this virus goes away, this pandemic, then we can resurrect that.
Hey, listen, do you know what? Thanks, Cam. I really appreciate it, mate.
Is that it?
That's it.